John, the gospel according to John, and chapter number 4, John chapter number 4. I have been preparing to preach to you again, and all, I guess the last several days, even from last week, I thought we'd be in Mark chapter number 9 again this evening, trying to work on getting started, finishing Mark chapter number 9. And four times in the end of Mark chapter 9, verse 42, I'll give y'all this, you can be thinking on it, Brother Mike, but four times from verse 42 to verse number 50, you read the direct phrase, "It is better." It is better. Jesus said, "It's better," speaking about a man who had offended one of these children who believes on me. Jesus said, "It is better that a millstone be hanged around his neck and he were cast into the sea." Would be better. And then he talked about, "It is better that if your eye offends you, your hand offends you, or your foot offends you," in each of those cases three times, he said, "It's better to enter into life," that is eternal life, blind or maimed in some condition, than it would be to spend an eternity in hell. It is better. And then he made the statement, he said in the end there, I believe it's verse number 50, Brother David, he said, "Salt is good." And that word "good," it has a connection to the word "better" that refers over and over. And so four times "it is better," and then he said about salt that it is good. And I wanted to focus in on that, on "it is better," and how to be a better believer. And I tell you, there's some pretty sobering verses that the Lord gives teaching his disciples there in Mark chapter number 9. And I won't give you all of that this evening. And I've struggled with trying to get peace and trying to give us something tonight that we need, that the Lord would give us. I have for, several years ago, I preached this message. And when I preached it, Brother Jerry, in fact, come to me and he said, "Pastor," he said, I think you ought to re-preach that message every so often as the Lord would lead. You remember that, Brother Jerry? Amen. And I have tried to do that. I've preached it. It's been a while. It's been over a year since I preached it. But I want to give it to us again tonight. And I believe it's important. I think the Lord put that in Jerry's heart to challenge us about doing this. Not because I've not studied or don't have something else to give you, but I felt like the Lord this afternoon began to kind of nudge our heart in this way again. And so we'll give it to you. Maybe we'll have some new material to give to you in light of this very thought. John chapter number 4. And I think we understand where we're at. The Lord has made his way to Samaria. He tells his disciples early on in the chapter that he must needs go through Samaria. He's found himself sitting upon Jacob, what we know as Jacob's well. And as time would pass, people would come and go. There is a woman of Samaria who makes her way there. You know how they engage in conversation. The Lord engages her, asks her for a drink, and she immediately throws some resistance to that, saying that if you, being a Jew, knew what I was as a Samaritan, you wouldn't be asking me for a drink. Jesus, as he does throughout that conversation, turns everything she says back on her, and he said, "If you knew who it was that asked you for a drink, then you would ask me for a drink, because I can give you a drink of everlasting water, and you'll never, never be thirsty again if you drink the water that I have to give." And that sparked this spiritual conversation between Jesus and what we know as the woman of Samaria. We're going to pick up in the end of this story for sake of time tonight, verse number 27. "And upon this came his disciples in the middle of this conversation and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, 'What seekest thou?' or 'Why talkest thou with her?'" Verse 28, "The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And so the next few verses, the Lord is there with his disciples. He'll give them some important lessons about laboring and service and propagating the gospel while you can. We come to verse number 39. We're back with the Samaritan woman. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I appreciate you standing. Thank you. You can be seated. Let's pray together. And I want to bring our thought, as we have several times in 10 years, on what is a testimony. What is a testimony, or how to give a testimony. Heavenly Father, tonight, in the name of the Lord Christ, our Savior, Jesus, we come before you this evening knowing tonight that in and of ourselves is no good thing. Put no confidence in our flesh, Lord. We know that, Lord, in ourselves and left to ourselves, we could only cry tonight, O wretched man that I am. But, Lord, we're thankful in the Lord Jesus Christ we stand perfect tonight. And that, Lord, in Him, Lord, we are seated together already in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank you for eternal life and eternal salvation. We're thankful, Lord, for the grip of our Savior upon our life. And we're thankful tonight, as we've already been able to testify, that salvation is of the Lord. Thank you for coming to where we were. Thank you, Lord, for speaking directly to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you gave us to respond, Lord, to truth and light and faith and repentance. Lord, I bless your name this evening for all that you've done in salvation on our behalf. Lord, I do pray now this evening, Lord, so many other things we could be thankful and, Lord, express gratitude about. Lord, thank you for letting us come into this service. I pray it not be a waste of time. And pray tonight, Lord, the things that we'll say, Lord, we've said before, but Lord, I pray they would be fresh and new and burn in our heart. Lord, may it stir our heart, Lord, in this area of our spiritual life as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. May, Lord, we learn from this Samaritan woman again, Lord, of what you saved us for, and Lord, what we're to do, Lord, with the things that God does in our life. Lord, we'll bless you for how that you move and work tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Again, we understand the context well. I'm sure just about everybody would be familiar with the story of Christ and the Samaritan woman. We understand that in this text, the Lord is going to encounter her, no doubt on purpose. She is the reason he must need have gone through Samaria. And so it wasn't a waste of time, this interaction, this interruption into her life. It was no accident. Jesus is there to deal with her according to her spiritual need. As we consider all that takes place there, we understand ultimately this is going to lead to her conversion. We understand that when she went there on that day, she came carrying her water pot. But verse number 28 said, The woman then left her water pot and went her way in the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And so on that day, she was introduced to the Lord Jesus. On that day, it's amazing, not that she would never need another drink of physical water. She would have to have that physically to live. But it is beyond ironic, Brother Tim, that she left her water pot in significance, signifying that She had found the one that in that moment of time satisfied her every longing and her every thirst and her every want in her soul. And it was Christ. It was Christ that met that need. It was Christ that brought about a conversion in her life. And thank God for the salvation that we all have. We can easily, if you're saved tonight, put ourselves in her shoes. And remember the day the Savior dealt with us about our sin. And dealt with us about our struggles. And dealt with us about our soul and the condition of our spiritual life. And how the Lord led us through speaking to us and through His Word. And through preaching and through the Spirit of God. To bring us unto Himself so that you and I might declare, is not this the Christ, the Savior of the world? And so there's no doubt in our mind that she has come into salvation, into conversion, and her life that needed a change, it was indeed change. What we're interested in tonight is, again, upon her conversion, is that when she went back to her town, when she went back to the place that she called home and went back to the ones that she called family and friends and when she went back into Samaria, the Bible said in verse number 39 that she did so with a testimony. And we see that in verse 29 and in verse number 39. And her testimony is simply this: come, see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And again, in verse number 39, it seems to be as though, Brother Riley, the scripture is saying it wasn't a one-time speaking forth, but that she said it again and again and again. She said in verse number 39, he told me all that ever I did. And so the idea is simply this: she had a testimony and she testified. She told about Jesus. She told about what He done. She spake for that was her story and testimony. And this evening we want to preach upon the thought on what is a testimony. What is it to testify? What is it to, my friend, give a testimony? A word testified in verse number 39 that is used there. As the Bible said, there and many of the Samaritans in that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman which testified. And the word testified literally means to witness. It means to be able or ready to give a record. The idea simply being that there was a record that she could tell them of. That there was something that she had experienced. Something that had gone on in her life that she could bear witness of. This word testified, it involves speaking of what one has seen, of what one has heard, and of what one has known. I believe that goes well with this woman and the word used of what this woman did. And she testified. You say, preacher, what does that mean? It means that she was speaking of what she had seen. She is speaking of what she had heard, and she is now speaking of what she has known. I'm thankful this evening that I can in salvation tell you about what I have seen. I can testify and speak forth of what I have personally heard. I can tell you tonight and testify of what I have been brought to know. Amen. More than what I've seen and what I've heard and what I've known. And I can tell you who I've seen. I can tell you who I've heard. Thank God I can tell you who I know tonight. Amen. I can witness of that. I can readily give you a record. I am able tonight not to tell you about what my papaw said.
And not to tell you about what my mamma sung about, and not just to give you some other record of somebody else who's a child of God, amen, but I can tell you what I have heard and what I have seen and what I know for myself. Amen. The word testimony, according to Webster's, he said, a testimony is a solemn declaration or affirmation made for the purpose of establishing or proving some fact. And so when we speak of the fact, this woman testified, and this woman indeed gave a testimony. That is her solemn, her serious, her sobering declaration. She wasn't shooting off at the mouth. She wasn't just running her jaw. My friend wasn't smacking her bubble gum around in her mouth. There was something that she stood up and said, I need to say, and was able to do so with a solemnness to declare and to affirm what Jesus had, my friend, revealed to her and done in her, that she testifies of a glorious salvation. The word testimony tonight. Amen. Oh, my friend, how we ought to learn from this woman. Amen. About having a testimony. Having a testimony. There are a couple things I would draw out this evening about her testimony. I find in verse number 28 that she had a testimony that was walked. Amen. That was walked. She was a walking testimony. You say, well, preacher, how do you see that? Amen. Because when she got done with the Lord, or rather the Lord, Brother Lucas, got done with her, she went back into town without her water pot. And I believe there was a change in her life. I believe, my friend, she went out of town carrying a heavy load. And she went out of town, my friend, with her head bowed low under the burden of everything that water pot represented. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, I got to give you this. You know what their water pots were made of in them days? Amen. She seems to be a woman of low means. She didn't have a water pot of gold or silver or something that had great earthly value. She had an old clay pot, an old potsherd, a pot representing, my friend, the flesh of man, representing man that came out of the ground, representing everything that was there in her first birth. Amen. She walked out of town with that load of clay and that load of dirt upon her back. But Brother Randy, when she met the Lord and she got a drink from the Lord, when she went back to end of town, amen, I'm glad the flesh had been dealt with. Amen, the burden had been rolled off of her shoulders. Amen, from the first time she walks into town, and there's a smile on her face, and there's joy bubbling up out of her heart and out of her soul and out of her words. And that she ain't talking about the things she used to talk about. Amen. She don't look the same way she looked when she left town that morning. Amen. But oh, there is a change. You say, what do you say? I'm saying in this woman, she had a testimony. It was a walking testimony. Amen. When she walked back into town, everybody knew. They may not have known what it was. Amen. Not know how she got it. Brother Mark, there was something. Everyone knew something was different in her life. Of course, she had a walking testimony. Amen. And I want to say this evening, and if you've been saved by the grace of God, you ought to have a walking testimony. Amen. You don't walk the same way you used to walk. I'm bogging down. Amen, but I'll get to where I want to be. Amen, you don't walk the same way you used to walk. Amen, don't carry the same kind of load of sin and burden of sin. and entanglements of sin that you once had. Amen. Oh, I'm glad tonight Jesus makes a difference in how man and how woman walks it, and where they walk and how they walk and why they walk it. Amen. I'm glad Jesus makes all the difference in the world. Amen. When Jesus saves a man, he'll put on his life a walking testimony. You won't need a 12-week discipleship course to learn how to have a walking testimony. Amen. That don't mean you'll know all there is about living for the Lord, but there'll be enough change go on in your life. Amen. That, my friend, people will know that you're different. By the way, that change and that difference he makes, amen, it is for time and for eternity. Amen. I'm sure, I don't know. Amen. I don't know what water pot she used from that day forward. But you know, there ain't no record, Brother Jerry, if she ever went back and got the same old water pot. Amen. Somebody said years ago that when the Lord saved them, he saved them, they wasn't nothing but an old sot drunk. Amen. But when God saved them, they didn't quit drinking. They just changed fountains. Said, amen, I'm glad tonight that's true. Amen. When a man gets saved, amen, the Lord changes their life. And he'll give you a walking testimony. Amen. If you're saved tonight, you ain't got to work it up. This woman didn't have to work it up. Amen. Oh, that'll wear you out. Some of you done know. If you'd be honest, you can't work it up. You may do that a little while. Amen. You'll fall flat on your face. I'm glad this evening I'm glad what I've got. I'm glad it ain't fake. I'm glad I quit playing games a long time ago. I'm glad when the Lord interrupted my life. Amen. And I realized how empty and thirsty I was on the inside. And I longed for a change. I longed to be different. I longed for him to make a difference in my life. I'm glad when I bowed my knee. Amen. I found in him what I'd finally been looking for. I ain't been perfect since then, but I'm glad since then he's given me a walking testimony of the change he made in my life. Amen. A walking testimony. Amen. A walking testimony. There's a lot of folk going to bust hell wide open because of some little pitiful little prayer they prayed. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. When God saves a man, he saves him from sin. I'm bogging down bad, but I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord saves a man, it ought to change the way that he lives. She had a walking testimony. We ought to learn from that. Amen. Do y'all want this? Amen. You see, you done preached it before. You didn't get it all the first time or the second time or the fifth time. Amen. Some of y'all done forgot we even preached this. Amen. You wouldn't have known I preached it before if I hadn't have told you and reminded you. She had a walking testimony. Number two, she had a talking testimony. Amen. She had a talking testimony. Amen. That is, the Bible said that not only did she leave her water pot, she went back without her burden. She went back without that vessel that it represented every longing that she had, every thirst that she had tried to quench in days gone by. And when she went back, she had a walking testimony. At the end of verse number 28, in verse number 28, I said, and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She keeps on saying it. It seems like she can't tell it enough. Her verse number 39 said that she was saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. And so she not only walking a walking testimony She is a talking testimony. You can't get around her long, and she's got to tell you about what Jesus did. Amen. You ain't got to beg her for a testimony. You ain't got to drag a service out. You don't have to sing her favorite song a half a dozen times in the right key. This woman is ready. This woman is able. This woman is excited to be able to speak forth her testimony. And I tell you tonight, we ought to have a walking testimony, but we ought to have a talking testimony. Amen. You say, well, I just let my life be lived. And that's fine. And you ought to let your life live and let your light shine. But can I tell you tonight, you ought to let your lips speak it forth. You ought to be quick, my friend, to brag on the Lord and testify about what the Lord has done in your life. Amen. This is what a testimony is. Amen. Amen. I have down here testimony and evidence are not the same. Evidence deals with your walk. Amen. Testimony deals with your talk. Amen. The problem is we're not real balanced about this. It's hard to find people that are balanced about it. There's some that do a lot of talky-talky and very little walky-walky. Amen. There's others that, amen, they got the walk, but they never seem to reach a place where they're willing or able or excited to tell about it. And yet, my friend, our evidence of our salvation and the testimony of our salvation ought to, though they're not the same, they ought to be those rails of the train of our spiritual life that, my friend, run in the same direction. Amen. When we're willing and excited to be able to tell somebody it, amen, our testimony. Testimony's important. Testimony's important. Revelation 12:11. It shows the importance and the power of God's people having a testimony and speaking a testimony and giving a testimony. For the Bible said the devil made war with the saints. Said he brought with him a third of the angels. Said my friend came in rebellion with him out of heaven, and that they made war with the saints. Now you talk about a mighty army. We're not able, my friend. One angel is said in the Word of God to be able to slay 10,000 men. But my friend, I'm telling you tonight, amen, when all of hell rages and every foul rebel spirit and Father Satan himself stands against the church of the living God, amen, all the odds would be stacked against us. But you know how they overcame the tempter? You know how they overcame the adversary? You know how they overcame every demonic devil? Amen, full of rebellion, full of hatred for the saints of God. The Bible said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Amen. You, my friend, if you're defeated tonight, amen, your way and path to victory, amen, half of the equation for your victory is in you giving a testimony. Amen. You testifying of the Lord Jesus and his grace and his work and his blessing and his goodness in your life. Amen. I'm telling you, victory's not hard to faith. Amen. You root yourself in the blood of Christ, and you overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, and you begin to testify. It won't be long till a victory begins to flood your life. Amen. And so we see so many defeated Christians today. Could it be because we're so deficient in the matter of understanding the importance of testimony? Amen. Amen. Well, I can tell y'all are enjoying this. The Samaritan woman is a great pattern for you and me about how we should give a testimony. Amen. Now, testimony, a talking testimony, let me say this tonight, it ain't just saying something for the sake of saying something. A lot of people can bloviate and go on and on and on and call it a testimony. Amen. But about all they ever give is a test of baloney. Amen. Amen. You're welcome. There is a difference in a testimony and a test of baloney.
Right.
Amen. And I dare say we better learn the difference.
Amen.
Amen. What is a testimony? Let's learn again from this woman tonight. I'll give them to you quick. Five or six things that we wrote down about this woman's testimony in verse 29 and 39. Number one, it was a shared testimony. She didn't keep it to herself. Amen. It wasn't a private thing. Now, it ought to be a private thing. Amen. But it, what was private and personal, amen, made its way out into the public. Amen. The Bible didn't say that she, amen, went away in the city and got in her house and shut the door and shut the window and climbed in her closet and began to testify before the Lord in private. I'm sure she done that. I hope she done that. But the Bible said that she said to the men of the city, she said to the men that she had been involved in sin with. She said to the crowd that had seen the old woman, that had seen the sinful woman, that had seen the woman plagued in iniquity, yet, and under the judgment and the curse of her sin. And she began to share her testimony, amen, with anyone that would be around, anyone willing to listen. She gave a testimony. It was a shared testimony. As she could only give a testimony because she had a testimony. And this is important, maybe one of the most important points in the message tonight. And the reason, my friends, so many are void and deficient and silent in a time of testimony, in a time when God opens up a door for them to speak, why they're silent, why they're mum, why, amen, the cat has their tongue, so to speak, is that you cannot give something you do not have. Amen. If you have a testimony, it won't take much for you to give it. She did not and she could not keep it to herself. In the world in which, my friend, we are looked down upon, in the world in which sinful men feel sorry for us and their faith and their lifestyle and their separation, and I say what they need to hear more than anything is a child of God who is not ashamed. Amen. That possesses real, true salvation. And my friend will boldly stand up and say, I can tell you, I was there when it happened. I was there when it came by my way. I was there when I got down on my knees. I was there when I got up from my knees. I was there when all my world changed. My direction was made different. My destination, amen, was with God. I can tell you, I can share a testimony because I have one. Amen. She did not and could not keep it to herself. Amen. When's the last time you shared your testimony? Amen. Now, I can give you mine in the sense of sharing it, but what mine is can't be yours. Amen. We can't save anybody. Amen. All we can do is share with them what Jesus did. Amen. Are you sharing what you have? Amen. Are you sharing what you have? Amen. Or is the reason you can't share is because you don't possess it? Amen. I challenge you tonight. Amen. What is a testimony? A testimony is something that is shared. It's a shared testimony. Number two, it was a short testimony. She didn't go on and on about doctor's reports, and amen, she didn't go on and on about insignificant details. She didn't try to take over the town with her testimony. Amen. Amen. Oh, it was a short testimony. And I say this evening, especially around the house of God, when it's testimony time, and I understand this is relative. I understand that that time and short and long, that can be very relative and different one person view. Amen. Something long or short, and we may not all see eye to eye on that. Amen. But my simple point is this. Amen. If you're going to give a testimony, don't go on telling us about things that really don't pertain to what is glorifying to Christ. Amen. Amen. Realize it's not your place to take the church over, take a service over. Listen, there's some folk I could listen to them testify all day. They got something to say. They could glorify Christ for 30 minutes. I remember, y'all have heard me talk about, many of y'all will remember Sister Biddle, and she was a woman who could exhort and just stand up and magnify the Lord, and she could do it for a while if you let her. I remember being in camp meetings, that woman just standing up and bragging on the Lord, and I'm telling you, I wasn't even saved, and I knew that woman had something that was real on her. Amen. And there's been others, and we have some around here. They just, man, when they get full and God gives them the green light, they can brag on Jesus. Amen. Everybody can share a testimony. Let me say something tonight. Here's what I want you to understand as your pastor on this point. It was short. You know what this woman learned? This woman had in mind, she wasn't the preacher or the teacher. She was just the testifier. Amen. I've seen a lot of church services where men and women would stand up and take to rebuking people. That's not a testimony. Amen. That, my friend, is not the place of a testifier. Amen. Amen. Tell us, Pastor. Come on, give it to us. Amen. It was a short testimony. Realize your place and position. Realize the moving of the Spirit of God within a service. Amen. You don't have to go on and say the same thing on and on for 5 minutes. This woman just said, come see a man. Told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Amen. I'm telling you, and I understand sometimes people, they want to get in on something, and I'm not preaching forbidding that. I promote that. Get involved. And sometimes we get nervous and you go on and on and on and on, but just, amen, take a deep breath. Amen, and don't jump in over your head. Amen. It might be you got to learn to just stand up and say, just won't thank God I'm saved, and sit down. Amen. Then the next time you can say, I just want to thank God I'm saved. And he answered a few prayers for me this week, and sit down and shut up. Amen. Work your way up. Amen. Learn it. Are we okay? Amen. Realize that. Amen. From her pattern, we learned that it was a short testimony. Amen. I'm almost done. Let me hurry up. It was a sweet testimony. All she ever said was pleasant and sweet truths. Amen. Pleasant and positive things came out of her heart and across her vocal cords and off of her lips dropped. Amen. Things that magnified the Lord in his sweetness. Come see a man who told me all things ever I did. A man who knew everything about me before I even showed up. I didn't tell him anything. He already knew it. He knew what I was. He knew what I'd done. He knew where I'd been. He knew all the activities of my life. But he still talked to me. He still spent time with me. He still loved on me. Amen. She gave a testimony that was full of sweetness. Amen. I would say right here that, amen, when it's testimony time, amen, when you sit down and you've said all you have to say, it ought to leave us enthralled with the sweetness of our Savior. Amen. 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 If you're going to stand up and testify, and you ought to, learn how to keep it sweet. It was shared. It was short. It was sweet. It was spiritual. Amen. It was a spiritual testimony. Amen. She did not speak of her earthly troubles. She did not speak of her bodily issues. She did not speak of her problems in the carnal realm. She focused on that which was spiritual. That was spiritual. Amen. Boy, spiritual testimonies. I love this point. That spiritual testimonies make for spiritual services. Amen. Let me say that again. Spiritual testimonies make for spiritual services. There are times we share our burdens and bear our burdens in requests and prayer. But when it's time to testify, it's not time. It's not time to give the, amen, shared burdens. It's time to give that that is spiritual, that is exhorting to the soul, that is exhorting to the inward man and everybody that is around. Amen. Spiritual testimonies make for spiritual services. All of us, listen, I've been here 10 years. Amen. If you've been with us any amount of time at all, you understand. And we can all think of how many services have been killed or nearly killed or interrupted because of unspiritual testimonies. Amen. A time when the Lord is moving and God's people are being excited as they exhort each other in testifying of the Savior, somebody feels a need to tell us about their cat that's hawking up hairballs at the house. Are y'all listening? Amen. And I'm telling you, I used to be real good about, well, okay, and we'll just move on. Now I just look at them, Brother Larry, like you are the most stupid person in the building. Amen. My wife told me just the other day, she said, you've got to a place it shows all over your face. Amen. I said, that's on purpose. Amen. Amen. If I try to be careful not to say anything, but if I can look at you like you're so dumb and I wish you'd just shut your mouth, maybe you'll do so. Amen. I'm being too honest, ain't I? Amen. You say, well, you give me that look a time or two. Maybe. Amen. But understand tonight, amen, we got to keep things spiritual. Ain't time to hear about the cat and the dog and your ingrown toenail. Ain't time to hear about all the issues that you've had and all the earthly concerns that are going on. Amen. When it is testimony time, it is time to remain spiritually minded in our testimony. Amen. It was a Savior-centered testimony. Really, that takes care of the last two points we made. If you'll just keep it Savior-centered. What she testified of, Brother Mike, it was all about Jesus. Come see a man. Who? Jesus. The man from Nazareth, the Savior from Galilee. Come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is this not the one we've been told about? Is this not the one we've been foretold was to come? The one who would help us, the one who would meet us where we were. And she didn't talk about herself. She talked about all about Jesus, nothing in this testimony. And she brings glory to her. It all brings glory to Him. Amen. Let me tell you something about what a testimony is and how to give one. Amen. How to evaluate a testimony. If you say more about I than you do Him, something wrong. Amen. I just want to thank the Lord. I have done, and I have accomplished, and I, and on and on and on about I. Amen. Listen, our testimony in this realm that we're talking about ought to be Savior-centered in everything that we have to say. Amen. Now she did say, amen, she did say, me, come say, a man which told me, but only once, amen, only once did she reference me and I, but she kept talking about the man, about the trash, amen, about the one that had interrupted her life, amen, she kept it Savior-centered, amen, and in doing this, it involved an invitation, come see a man. Our testimony, if it's Savior-centered, and it will invite everybody to get their eyes on the Lord. Don't get your eyes on me. Don't come and see me. Don't come and see what I've done. Don't come and see what I've accomplished. Don't come and see what I've arrived to be. I'd come and see a man. It's an invitation. Everybody that is listening to get their eyes on Jesus. Involved an invitation. It involved a revelation which told me all things. Amen. She's giving a revelation not only of what the Lord did for her, but what He can do for them. It involved a glorification. Is not this the Christ? The anointed of God. What is she doing? She is literally glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In his position, amen, and in his glorious work for which he has been anointed alone to do, this testimony, Savior-centered testimony, involve a glorification. Not we could say about that, but let me end and say it was a stirring testimony. She got done testifying. The Bible said, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified. Her testimony made an influence and an impact on those that heard it. It stirred them and caused others to desire and to be drawn to the Savior. Amen. Now there's a few there, they just kind of perked up. They didn't respond, Brother David. Amen. Until the Lord came back into town and he told them who he was and he spoke to them personally. Amen. But there were many, the Bible said there were many of the Samaritans that when they heard her testimony, they got so stirred up that it caused them to desire what she had, and they believed on the Lord just for the saying and the testimony of the woman who said, let me tell you about Jesus. Amen. And I say that's what a testimony ought to do. It ought to stir those who are hearing us brag on the Lord. Do you stir anybody? Do you have a testimony that stirs anybody? When people hear you talk about what Jesus did for you, does it make them want to have what you have because your testimony is so real and bursting out of you that they're stirred to want what you got? Can I be honest? Most Christians, most professing believers, they're so long-faced and down in the mouth and so discouraged and blah. I'm saved and I don't want what they got. I don't want what they got, Brother Larry. I mean, even in church, you ask them how they're doing. And buddy, I'm telling you, y'all know I've tried to learn not to ask people that. There's some people you know better than ask them. Amen. Because I'm telling you, I've asked some, amen, dozens of times, and the dozens of times I've ever asked them, I've never heard them say, whoa, God's good. Well, I'm just making it.
What kind of testimony is that? I'm just making it. Oh, I'm just barely surviving. I'm just doing the best I can. What kind of testimony is that? I'm not saying we don't get discouraged and feel that way sometimes, but really, dozens of people would ask you over the course of years, how you doing? I'm just making it. All right, I guess. Were you guessing, or do you know, or what's the deal? Is Jesus on the throne? Did Jesus save your life? Did Jesus move into your heart? Amen. Is the Word of God still the Word of God? Is walking with the Lord in sweet fellowship, is it good or not? Amen. I'm telling you, there's some people, they don't stir you. They don't make you want to know any more about their Savior, because what they testify, you are testifying something. You're testifying something. Amen. God help us to have such a testimony that when we open our mouth about the Lord, that it has an impact to stir others, saved or lost, that says, I want a little bit of what they've been drinking. I want to know a little bit about the one they're walking with. I want to know something about the one that they've just talked about. I know they got bills piling up on the table, and I know they got a bad report from the doctor, and I know that they've had a hard week, and I know that everything ain't well in their family, but when I ask them how they're doing, when they come in the house of God, they just brag on the Lord, and there's something about, even though I know things are not on well in their life, and they're still tapped into giving and having and sharing a good testimony. There's some people, Brother Larry, that I just go on autopilot, comes out, how you doing? And I go, oh man, here we go, brace for it. Brother Larry Jenkins, he's one I like to ask, how you doing? How many of y'all know what he's going to tell you? What's he going to tell us? Always good. I'm always good. You know why I can say that? Because God's always good. Always good. Blessed. Amen. I'm telling you, there's some people you want to get around them. You want to ask them, how you doing? How's your week been? Because they're going to be so stirring to your heart. You can fight hell by the acre every day the rest of this week. Come in Sunday, and you know who to get to and who to get around that'll exhort your soul and stir you and say, yeah, I want a little bit of what that man has. Amen. May God turn all of us into that kind of testifier. Amen. When they see us coming, they don't go, oh, Lord, I got enough problems. Everybody all right? That when they see us coming, Brother Gerald, to go, I need to get around that brother right there. I need to talk with that sister because they're positive and they're sweet on the Lord Jesus, and I need that exhortation in my life. I want to be that. I want to be that. I pray you'll want to be that. A lot more we could say. I could run you the book of Exodus, the word testimony, where it's used at, the book of the Bible it's used at the most in all the Word of God is the book of Exodus. Mostly used in connection, Sister Mary, with the Ark of the Covenant. You know where the Ark of the Covenant was? That's where God dwelled. That's where God's glory showed up. You know where God's presence and glory will be? Around where there is a testimony. Amen. We could preach on that. Amen. We could go a lot of places. Amen. Back to the book of Revelation. I'm done. What is a testimony? I trust, amen, that'll be a stir to our heart tonight and help us in, amen, having one, giving one. If you have one, give one. Amen.